So we went through creating alias accounts for passive OSINT investigations. We've gone through how to submit your flags. We've covered rabbit holes. We've covered tools.
In chat, yeah, we got some good stuff.
Yeah. Tips for finding a team. Shameless promotion. There are two Discords that you should be going to accomplish this.
Yes.
One is Choice Labs. If you're not in their Discord, that I'm putting the link in here right now for you, because Choice Labs has more boosts than the Ascension. So there's a link to theirs. I also have a Choice Labs team matching channel in the Ascension Discord. I advocate joining both Discords because, I misspelled Discord, because it's not an us versus them thing. I mean, I'm a member of no less than 25 or 40 Discords. That's probably your best way. You could probably also ask on like Twitter, but I'm not sure you're going to get the best results. At least within Discord.
We set up those team matching channels. And sometimes I say that like we name our channels very complicated things that make it difficult for somebody to understand what the purpose of the channel is. But no, really, we just have it as like just hashtag team matching. We're finding a lot of stuff. And again, we also have a suggestions channel. So if you think I'm being too snarky or that we should have a channel named something that's a bit more obvious, then yeah, feel free to drop it in suggestions.
I'm heading over there now.
Yep, Joe's going to drop it in suggestions and be like, yeah, here's a bunch of feedback.
I agree that. My sole suggestion is you should have a picture that is literally nothing but my picture, a channel that is nothing but my picture. And the channel name should be something very obvious.
Okay. Literally, yeah, just please, yeah. Something dash very dash obvious.
Yeah. Favorite resources. Honestly, I'll go first on this one. My favorite resources in order are probably Facebook, Google Dorks, What's My Name, in that order. In the past, as part of the Password Inspection Agency and the Federal Bureau of OSHINT, we did CTF write-ups. Human Dakota, can you share the write-ups link to the chat, if you don't mind? We did write-ups, and we talked a lot about how we were using dorks and stuff like that. And one of the teams that came in, I think it was second, they used a lot of automation. One of the people behind it is, there you go, platform demos. The Ascension YouTube's got some stuff there as well. I've got a Recon NG course on the on-demand platform, although Recon NG is not very useful in this competition, just being entirely honest. But we did the write-up, and the person like made fun of Ray Baker, of all people, for us admitting to using Google. And he's like, well, that's not like some super elite technique. Way to go bragging about using Google. It's like, we beat all of your tools, so who are you to clown? for those teams like up at, that tend to stay up at the top, like the PIA, Federal Bureau of OSHINT, the KGBs, FSBs, Shandyman and the Three Half Pints, Dwayne the Sock Johnson, the Mini Hats Club. I cannot express how much trash talking goes on between those teams. It is obscene. it's not obscene as in vulgar. It's just a lot more trash talking than you think. But with that being said, I'll shut up and let others talk about their favorite tools or resources.
So I'm a huge proponent of saying F tools. I think so many people get so wrapped up in setting up their VM and using all their tools to look at very, very small corners of the internet in too much detail that they eliminate a lot of the landscape, vast, vast landscape of information that's out there pertaining to their target. There is something to be said for old-fashioned sleuthing. And again, I'll echo Joe's comments. Social media, specifically Facebook, I think has rendered more points and flags for us in the past than I'm really honestly willing to admit. But Google Dorks and using that to kind of narrow in on key points of information and looking at pictures, the information in the background of pictures. I found tons of pictures on missing persons, Facebook, Instagram, and similar accounts that showed a lot about their personality, what was important to them, their activities, hobbies, things that could be potential pitfalls for them.
Indigenous species of plants and animals in the background.
Yeah. And that gets to, you know, it's like you copied my notes for one of the one of the tools that is my favorite for OSINT is practicing within GeoGuessr or games similar to GeoGuessr or really anything that enhances your ability to do natural observation, to just pick things out of the background and you go, okay, you're GeoGuessr, you're dropped in the middle of nowhere and have to, you know, figure out where you are. Well, you're looking at these small details, the brick layout, how the lights are. If you had a picture from the inside of a building, you can figure out a lot from, I think, I don't know who told me this, but they said that, you know, hotels in the US versus other countries, they have differences in the lighting, that like in the US they have a lot more lamps, because if a light goes out in a lamp, they can just get somebody to change it, versus if it goes out in a ceiling, they need, you know, more of the bonded electricians to do it. You know, some details like that, that being able to get that type of information, going, okay, well, then you're really good at natural observation and going, hey, I think I know where this picture was taken.
Same thing if you see a picture of an outlet, right?
Yeah.
You know what an outlet looks like in the US? It looks the same. Canada, I think in Japan, if I recall correctly, in parts of Europe, it's different. In parts of Asia, it's different. So you can look at the outlet. If you see a picture that contains, like within a hotel room with an outlet, that's something you can use as well. Something I've been using as a line of conversation in class is like with like indigenous species, right? I always use the Mojave prickly pear as an example for a plant, because they bloom between April and June. And I talk about North American pit vipers, because you have different pit vipers all over the country. You have different types of rattlesnakes, different types of copperheads, different types of cottonmouths. In certain parts of the country, there are no cottonmouths. There are no specific this type of rattlesnake or whatever. If you see a picture that says, oh, I'm in Connecticut, look at this cottonmouth, you can look at the range map of a cottonmouth and be like, no, this is garbage. You are lying. Where is this? Where was this taken? It's in one of these places. Shout the fake news. A picture is worth 1,000 words. And if you're doing OSINT, it's really probably about 10,000 words, honestly, for a lot of the pictures, independently of EXIF, independently of a full-blown reverse image scan. Don't be afraid to crop the pictures and do reverse image searches on certain things you see. You could also, I'm going to tell you with caution, don't immediately go jumping to use Photo Forensics, the website Photo Forensics. I'm getting a specific link up here really quick. Ultimately, within Photo Forensics, I'm going to share a URL in the chat that will show you why I'm saying to be cautious of it. I really like Photo Forensics as a website, and there's something that's worth seeing on this, but with this particular link, as soon as I get back over here to Twitch, they actually store data. So don't go doing this for like investigations with an NDA. For example, if we, I'm going to get Firefox back up over here. This is actually going to load a legit image, and it's the image I use as a demo in class. But like something you can look at here is the error level analysis. I'll give you a link to a video that talks about this a little bit more, but you can look at the error level analysis and see if an image has been heavily doctored as well. So, you know, in this day and age, people are putting weight in some places, taking weight out of other places. There's an incentive to go that direction. Don't always trust what you are seeing. I'm getting the link to the video now. That's another one. Does anyone else have anything else to...
And the final thoughts for this...
Let me get the link to this dropped in Twitch really quick. I saw a couple of pretty decent questions that we probably want to hit as well. To quickly answer the question about like, how do you submit it? There, you have a CTF platform that you just follow the links in it. That's where you submit everything. You do need to submit it in real time, because the CTF only goes on for 4 hours and the judge is doing, they're judging real time. With that, you need to submit it. And after the pencil downtime occurs, you're going to get to a point where more or less you can't submit anything else. So it has to be in the platform close to real time. in terms of compartmentalizing and leaving the CTF behind when it's done, honestly, when I've competed, I've worn myself out so bad that I'm just exhausted. I can barely stay awake until they announce the winners. After that, I immediately go lay down and it's game over.
Yeah, I would say check out the contestant guide. There's a lot of good stuff in the contestant guide as far as preparation, the mental health aspects of some of the material you'll be seeing in the cases you'll be learning about and how to detach from those people in those cases. Once the competition is over, it's very important not to become obsessed with it and continue to work on those cases after the competition is closed. So prepare your environment. I usually clean my entire desktop off. I'll store all of my screenshots on the desktop. And then when the competition is over, like the final buzzer has rung, there are no more flags to be submitted, then I will wipe all of that off of my desktop and let all that stuff leave my brain. Find something, have a plan for something to do away from your computer afterward to just separate that time, whether it's agonizing over the final point score or taking a walk with your dog outside, but something just to shift your mindset away from the competition is a good thing to have and keep in mind following the contest. Make sure you have plenty of snacks, hydrate, lots of water.
Adult diapers,
get your diaper genie and your dumb waiter hooked up to your outside of your house for your Grubhub order.
Yep, exactly. Go ahead and have your honestly, it doesn't hurt to go ahead and have your Grubhub orders placed before the competition. Mm-hmm.
Just schedule them. Yeah, perfect.
To be entirely honest.
I schedule my snacks and I also.
Because you need to eat.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
To make your brain work.
I think even more so for like the staff, because like we probably had a lot of time, you know, before anything starts and have a lot of time after everything and scheduling the snacks. And then also it's like, I reinforce the plan today, plan before the competition starts for what you're going to do to transition over. I found that for myself, it's been more beneficial to do something rather than say I'm exhausted and I'm just going to sleep, just something to actually shift that headspace. Because I think even just going to sleep, we haven't shifted that headspace. I do things like going out for ice cream. I kids, so I usually hang out with kids because I've disappeared for an entire day. That helps out. Within Trace Labs and in our Discord, we do, and I'll around sufficient disclaimers, we do have a channel that's called Mental Health. It is not meant to be a mental health professional outlet, but it has a lot of those same resources that we have in the guide. Something's more updated. If someone's in there being like, I just need to decompress, I'm like, here's some fun videos, uplifting videos or music or whatever you want to jam out to make you feel better. But if you're really having like a crisis or anything, then obviously we can direct you to professionals. We are not any mental health professionals ourselves, but we try to plug people into whatever outlets and resources they need. If you just need to hear a bunch of bad puns, and bad puns are in my head because I watched some of the recent, no spoilers, but I watched some of the recent The Last of Us. They have some good puns in that episode. That's your cup of tea. Awesome.
And I'm the king of dad joke. I know the lyrics to the Bluey theme song. I can sing that to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm getting up on that too. It has been fantastic for our kids.
Yeah, I love Blue. You can also reach out to groups like the Mental Health Hackers. But if you need professional help, reach out. I think it was with the Password Inspection Agency. There was a time we were competing. And honestly, I ran into, I saw some stuff. Like, it wasn't like CSIM or CSIM. It was just really heavy. And I was like, hey, I need to take a break. So I just locked the computer, took about 15 minutes, walked a couple laps around the subdivision, listened to some music in my AirPods, and then came back. Re-engaged, refocused, but triggering a content warning, you might come across some stuff you don't want to see. And it could range from anything.
But images, but just putting together the narrative, the story of this person and their life.
The narrative had hit more. And I'm not sure if, how many have heard like the my Easter egg story is how I will put it, is, going through the cases and you come across like the 4-year-old sister of the missing person, that you have a photo of this 4-year-old just holding an Easter egg with the missing person's name on it, just begging them to go to a phone and they'll just call home. And it it hits you like a truck because you know from all the other research and the submissions that you're getting that they're in, the missing person is in a very bad situation. They're being trafficked. They need to get out. They're trying to get out. Seeing that Easter egg just kind of come up in the midst of all of this, just one of the things that can hit you as, you know, just an emotional gut punch to where, yeah, it's certainly not disturbing imagery at all, but it's just, you know, has the emotional gut punch there that can take you for a ride.
Speaking
that's my story.
Speaking about other organizations like ILF, for example, you know, you have to be vetted. You get a VDI instance. And when you're doing the investigations, they have software that blurs out the pictures. Being a dad myself, I can't do that anymore. I have no appetite for it. I fully support anyone who can. But the part that would really get me the most would be the narrative, like reading what some of these people are saying. That's the worst part. And fortunately, in Trace Lives events, I've never ran across that. I'm not going to say it doesn't exist because it probably does, but I've been fortunate enough not to see that kind of stuff.
It's a rarity. And I say that being on, you know, the staff back end for many of these cases, seeing anything that is child sexual abuse material, violence, pornography is going to be a very rare occurrence.
I mean,
I think it's more likely to see legitimate pornography, you know, legal pornography, than anything else. And even that is a rarity. That usually comes up when there's somebody that has their own OnlyFans, Pornhub, whatever hubs that are set up that you come across.
Of all the times I've competed, all the times I've judged, I've only came across borderline pornographic stuff one time. And that's when I was judging and someone found a missing person's Amazon list. Or no, I'm sorry. They found their camera site. And like, when I judge, if I don't have an active submission to look for, I'm constantly looking for stuff myself, just so that if the team submits it, I can be like, yep, I've already seen that. Good. We're good to go. Based on the username they used on the cam site, I found their Amazon wish list. And that confirmed, you could look at the date added. And honestly, they probably could have got a day last seen out of it. But as a judge, I couldn't say, hey, submit this like this. I couldn't do that. That's them having the camera site and then the wish list for the camera site that pretty much guaranteed everything that I've seen. Fortunately, that's not something that this group has to run into. Some of the other OSINT adjacent nonprofits, some of them run headfirst into it. Some of them sidestep it a little bit and then end up in some cases being confronted with it. So yeah, I'll shut up now because we're already over time. Let's go around really quickly. We'll start with Balouf. How do you want to be contacted and how can people contact you and any final bits of wisdom?
Yeah, so how people can contact me, I'm Balouf on most platforms. I'm Balouf within the Trace Labs Discord. I'm Balouf on a lot of Discords, so I think that there's a ever-increasing chance that if you just like walk into a Discord and scream for my name, someone will help you, and I may very well show up. Yeah, and then it's like, you know, any, you know, further points of that, it's like, look, further points and takeaways is, I'm ecstatic that we're doing this event. Certainly since the last AMA, it's been made clear to me like how much of a impact we're making, and all of the different organizations that are interested in Trace Labs and are using our model, basically what we're doing for their own intelligence gathering. So it's really making an impact. And I thank everybody that's contributed to that. Speakers, panelists, participants, judges, report team writers, staff, like it's been fantastic to kind of see what it's become over the years. This is hitting like almost exactly my 4 year since being involved. So just to have this experience for 4 years is very fascinating.
Levy, your turn.
Hello, it's me. If you want to contact me, just say, be nice to the spiders in your house because they are mine. I am a trench coat full of spiders, but also, if you have been in the chat, you'll see I've been talking the whole time as Levitonin. You can find me on the Discord with the same name. I recommend anybody who's trying to reach out to me, tell me where you're coming from, because I have tinfoil around my computer and I don't read messages from people unless I know why. You can also find me by that same name on Twitter, though I will say I'm not an active social media user. So if I don't respond to you right away, I will probably get back to you in like a month over on Twitter, and I check it once a month. So that's all I've got for you. Anybody wants to chat about documentation, darknet stuff, OPSEC, any of those things, I'm up for those conversations anytime.
I'm also always up for fun facts about spiders.
Quick question on that. Have you updated your resume and CV to say that I've anointed you as the official dark web magician?
My CV already kind of was close, so I do have to update it that I have now been anointed this. Yep. And I will give you a tagline on fine print on my resume.
Sounds good. If you need to use a white font so they can't see it, that's fine too.
It'll be there somewhere.
Elise.
Yes. Thank you for having me. This has been fun chatting with everyone and catching up. I'm trying to like detach myself from social media, but you can find me sharing stories about my chickens on Instagram, yelling into the void on Mastodon under the handle Aleith on Twitter and LinkedIn and all those places as well. I'm probably going to be able to respond more quickly to you via Twitter and or Instagram. You're welcome to reach out to me any of those ways and connect with me on LinkedIn if you're looking for jobs and stuff, because I try to share open roles and positions in cybersecurity, and you're welcome to use my extended network. But I think that's about it. I'm currently at Bishop Fox and we're sharing a bunch of new stuff about what we're doing there and contributing back to the community. So if you want to engage with cool new red team content coming from Bishop Fox, that would be amazing. And I'll be at B-Side San Francisco this year presenting, making a pit stop at RSA, and a couple more conferences this year. So don't hesitate to walk up to my physical body and say hello, but definitely give me some context so that I don't treat you like somebody that's a stranger danger.
I am Joe. You can find me pretty much everywhere that I want to be found, either by C_3PJoe on LinkedIn. I'm Eyeballs Joe Gray. That's my honeypot for people using automation. The easiest place to contact me, honestly, is Discord, either the Ascension or Trace Labs, or send me a DM, but give me some context behind it. And please, if you message me, don't, like after I say hello, please don't send me a link to something immediately. At least warm me up a little bit before you try to get me to buy something, or better yet, don't even try to sell me something. I had a lot of that this last week for whatever reason. My best wisdom to provide would probably be stick with the basics. You know, if you want to get good at the great, if you want to get great at the great stuff, you've got to get exceptional at the basic stuff. Don't worry about some super stealth technique. Just stick to the basics and you will end up just fine. But remember, in terms, yes, basics do, that does include documentation. I do agree. Just remember the reason behind the competition and remember that it's not just a competition. The points are secondary to the outcomes of this, and you may find people, you may not. Go with it. I want to say thanks to everyone for coming out and watching on Twitch. And then because this is recorded, it'll also be on at least the Ascension YouTube. If Trace Labs wants to put it up, they can as well as Aleith, you know, I'll share it with whomever, and the Ascension Academy as well. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time. This has been a really good stream. I really enjoyed this format more so than our previous AMAs, and if you're competing on Saturday, best of luck. If you are being a staffer or a judge, may the odds be ever in your favor. OSINT the planet.
If you are interested in on-demand training, check out the Ascension Academy. We currently have 3 courses available. You can bundle all 3 of those courses or 2 of those courses. We have replays of webinars as well as a lot of free content. Visit academy.theascension.com.
If you're interested in purchasing courses from the Ascension, you can do so in a variety of ways. The easiest way is the Ascension store, which is at theascension.com/courses/store. You can purchase bundles, individual courses, and placeholders here. If you would like a custom bundle, please email bundles@theascension.com for custom bundles or questions. If you're interested in any of the upcoming live courses, we are teaching on March 4th from noon until 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Practical OPSEC for Intelligence and Privacy. We will be teaching Intelligence Investigations Business on April 1st, from noon until 8:30 p.m. On May 6th, we'll be teaching from noon until 4 p.m. the Image Intelligence, Optical Character Recognition, and Video Analysis course. And also on May 6th, we'll be teaching Regular Expressions for Intelligence from 5 to 9 p.m. Eastern. If you'd like to bundle these courses, we offer this in a payment plan, and as a one-time payment, there are the links to take care of that. You can follow us on Twitch. OSINT.mobi/Twitch is the redirect. osint.mobi/YouTube is the YouTube redirect. And also we maintain a couple of communities. On Discord, we maintain the Ascension Discord, which is osint.mobi/Discord. And we are also members of osintelligence on LinkedIn, which you can join via osint.mobi/osintelligence. There are the links to my social media as well as the Ascensions.
Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and hit the bell for notifications.